Dance RPG, working, all the time. Fighting time, fighting time. Cursing, swearing, full of adult themes. Adult themes, adult themes. Bellree's gonna sing the intro. Belting out this cartoon intro. Penance. The mighty power that can save your day. Penance. No one knows what lies behind this masquerade. Penance. Always riding high on weird intros. I am very sorry, I couldn't let him sing. It was genuinely painful. Apologies. Love, Nikolai.
This week, Nikolai demanded a reference to Mask. This is Penance the RPG. Good evening and welcome to episode 67 of the Penance RPG podcast. I am your lovable Bellree, and today marks the start of our 4,444th follower giveaway. There are a total of three ways to enter. Either through Facebook, Twitter, or this time, through directly supporting us on Patreon. Winners will be chosen from a pool of all entries combined. Thank you all for the support that has allowed us to grow to this stage, and we can only hope to continue to bring you our unique blend of humour and storytelling. As for this week's episode, it is a smaller group this week, as several of the cast were cast away at the time, but there is still a tale to be told. So let's get right on into it, with episode 67, The Pyramid Puzzle.
So, who are you, what are you, and the National Unicorn Day, what is your thoughts on the unicorn? Starting with Ash.
Hi, I play Ashra Belarana. She's an elven mage. She's got lots of things that do frost damage and healing spells and some other silly spells that apparently shouldn't be useful but can actually be quite silly. My thoughts on unicorns is that the Vikings have got a lot to answer for.
Fair enough. Dragon.
Hello, I play the Unnamed Rogue. I specialise in sharp, pointy, stabby things and withering scorn of half of the party. I collect random crap and I'm trying to keep like a journal, but it's too confusing when I look back at it. So someone will probably find it and think it's the ramblings of someone insane at some point.
Okay.
My thoughts on unicorns. I should like unicorns because they're the national animal of Scotland. Nobody ever believes that when you tell them, but everyone believes that Wales has a dragon, so why can't we have unicorns? Leaving it at that.
And finally this week, Hippo of the Yard.
Hello, I play Hippo of the Yard, also known as Tench the Warrior, and Tench, oh god, he's done it again. I have various items, sword that blows wind, a shield, another big sword, I have a collection of rocks, I am undead for my head, I have a new body, well, it works, but we've not taken full advantage of yet. And what's my thoughts on unicorns? I think they're pink, I think they're fluffy, and I think they dance on rainbows.
Smiles! Yay!
As I suddenly hear silence as my death comes even closer.
There is no Lenaida this week because he's off snowboarding. There's no Andrea Dina, I'm not sure why. And there's no Bellree because it's his birthday. So he's off celebrating.
Happy birthday, Bellree!
He thought that people were acting suspicious, so he didn't know if he was going to be able to record tonight or not, because he might be getting kidnapped by people for his birthday.
Just what you want for your birthday, kidnapping.
Well, you know.
So what happened last week?
Last time on Penance RPG.
Oh, last week was bizarre. So we're going along in the ship, and we come across, like, battlements, like, just poking up above the ocean, So we go in one of the towers, and we were expecting to have to swim around. Inside this castle is completely dry, despite it being mostly underwater. One tower, there's an elfish diary, and in the other tower, there was a book showing like portraits of elves with some of their key descriptors for all the world, like a grim order service. Very weird. We go through the main doors, really scared, because what if that's where the water is? Is the water going to come and get us? Does this magic protect the entire castle? So we go through and we find the castle chapel, I guess. And it looks like it was all set up for a service, and it also looks completely and utterly trashed. And there's hoof prints everywhere. And at one side, this deep pit that is full of corpses in oil. Just bizarre. We turn round and we see a horse who is murderous, tries to kill us, but someone caught the chain with a sapphire that was on the horse. And then she's turned into an elf who was still acting like a horse and being violent. So the spoiled daughter of the Lord of the Manor always got what she wanted, and she wanted an elven husband, and out of this book she chose Stilgar. Then we found his gold ear, somewhat disturbing, and that Toby the fox from that really creepy island had turned up and gave the daughter her desire, and she turned into a horse and killed everyone. No idea if the castle was above ground at that point, or if this all happened under the sea.
Okay. So, you're on the boat, sailing away, following the direction the golden ear is pointing, and you get hollowed down, effectively, by a small rowboat that, as soon as it sees you, waves frantically and rows towards you, and there are two men inside the rowboat. What do you do?
Can we help you with something?
They pull alongside the boat and tell you that, have you seen a man with a long grey beard and white clothes? It's very important. Have you seen him go past this way on a boat?
I don't think so. Can you give us any more of a description?
He's in his late 60s. He's a village elder. He has recently departed, and we need to find him again. It's very urgent that we find him again.
I'm sorry, I don't think we can help you.
The two men look slightly crestfallen and sink back into the boat. They give their basic thanks and then begin drifting off to the direction you've came.
Do we want to offer to help them?
You can always keep an eye out for him.
Yeah. If we do see him, do you want us to pass on a message or anything?
They tell you that they are from an island to the northwest. If you keep heading that way, you'll meet up with the rest of their village, and maybe they can offer more advice. They're just going to go and scout the nearby islands and see if they can find the elder.
Okay. Good luck with finding your elder.
Okay. So they scoot off into the distance and you carry on. Eventually you come to an island with a busy looking port, and there's more men wearing roughly the same kind of coloured robes, rowing small boats in and out of this sort of small dock. Again, flag you down and ask if you've seen the elder.
No, we haven't, but we did see two of your fellow villagers, I'm sure, out searching for him.
Again, they seem slightly saddened, but they offer you basic trade.
Well, if they're offering us a chance to trade, it could always be worth restocking provisions and fresh water and fresh food.
Let's find out what they have.
Well, I'm sure we can get food and fresh water.
Do we need any more rope or anything like that?
I'm sure they need rope, Greg. So the three of you disembark, since that's all of you that there is. The rest of them are all ill, drunk, hungover, whatever you want to say, down below.
To make sure it doesn't get taken over by bad guys, disappear, vanish on us, etc., etc.
Yeah, you put the crook lock on the wheel.
I'm going to take a register this morning before we go anywhere as well, to make sure we're not missing anybody.
Sure. So you entrust... Graham, give me a name.
Nephion.
Nephion.
Yeah.
Okay. You entrust...
Why not?
You entrust... I've never heard of that name before, but fair enough. You entrust Nephion, another of Bellry's minion folk, to be in charge of guarding the ship while you're all away. He stands a little too keen at a salute and starts running around telling everyone he's in charge and they should jump to it and start cleaning the ship. The minion folk all seem to respond in kind and start cleaning the ship.
That's very kind of them.
So you go aboard, and although it's a small village, it does seem quite busy. Can everyone roll me a d20, please, to see what your perception checks tell you? You notice that there is a funeral procession going through town. It has a very large casket with a lot of very unhappy people following the casket behind. You also know that it's going to a very full graveyard outside.
Does there appear to be a lot of fresh graves?
There does seem to be a fair few fresh graves, yes.
Oh dear.
You go to the town hall and, well, the obviously chief's hut kind of thing, sort of bigger than the rest in the middle of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And as you enter, a sort of plump man with an ill-fitting brown robe greets you and shakes your hand profusely. He first of all asks you, have you seen the elder?
No.
No, sorry.
No, please not.
He again looks slightly saddened and mutters that it's been 11 months now since the elder left, and they have no idea where he's gone. They've sent search party after him, but they can't find him. They're basically at their wits' end for what to do now. They feel that they have betrayed the gods, and the gods have come to reap their souls, and they don't know what to do.
What's been happening?
He basically gestures to a small table of refreshments to one side, and then sits down and begins to tell you an elaborate tale. He tells you that their village was always a small one, and they recently got invaded, and a lot of the men got conscripted into the army. Upon returning, the men found that the village had been ransacked several times, and the population had shriveled down to just being the old, the young, the sick, and the dying. And last year, this creature appeared and said he had the answer to all of their whims, and foolishly they listened to him. He brewed up a potion that allowed them to change how people were. It got them to change that who was able to reproduce. So instead of them requiring females, anyone could reproduce. The problems were that their science and medicine were not equipped to deal with this. They lost many good men and also many women, especially the children. They couldn't save them. And the elder has left in disgust, for he feels that we have turned our back on God, and we don't know what to do.
Interesting.
He begins to sob profusely. What do you do?
I'd like to ask about what kind of creature it was that arrived.
He looks straight at you and screams, "That damn fox."
Oh God, not again. Oh, I am very sorry to hear of this. He has plagued our journey somewhat recently and affected myself and my companions. Oh dear.
He tells you that they need to either find the elder or they need to find a way through the maze and the pyramid above, because it's the only way they can find out what their god needs to take them back. They feel that by allowing everyone to reproduce, they have spat in the face of their god.
What exactly is it that kills people? Is it trying to go through childbirth when they're not designed for it, or is it something else?
He tells you that sometimes it is just complications and sepsis seems to have got in. He tells you sometimes it's childbirth. The first few males that went through childbirth were just almost immediately consumed, and we had no idea how. And he sort of gestures in a very awkward hand gesture way that how it should happen. The closest we had was one was split entirely. Since then we have insisted upon cesarean birth, but even then it never seems to work cleanly.
Do you have anyone that's still alive and in danger?
He tells you that there are many people in the village who are still in the last few months of effectively pregnancy, but they're not really sure if they're going to survive anymore. There are one or two children. One or two have been successful, but it's so rare now, we just don't seem to have the necessary requirements to heal people through it.
How can we help you? We are sailing adventurers. You will assist you any way we can.
He tells you the only way you could help is to either find the elder or traverse the maze in the pyramid, as he described, because at the end of the maze is apparently the answer, sent by the gods themselves and guarded through traps. The elder was the only one who knows the way through it.
How do you know that There is an answer there.
The Elder has told us this. He says he has seen it.
Okay. Does he often see things?
Well, yes. Why?
Okay. The more information you can give us, the easier it would be to try and traverse the maze. That is all.
He sort of looks at you confused, but smiles and tells you he understands. They tell you that they're not sure how to get through the maze at all. They know that the Elder was passed down from the Elder before him, and it seems to be a rite of passage, the knowledge of how to get through the maze. But apart from that, they have no idea.
Okay, but so it's try it blind or find the Elder.
He nods and asks you what you would want in return.
Ladies, do you have any preference before I say something stupid?
If you say rocks...
I'm not sure we really want anything in return, really. Just want to help people.
Then my response would be, we are helping it out. However, if you happen to come across any interesting rocks, I shall quite happily take it off your hands.
He looks slightly confused and says, rocks? Don't think we've got many interesting rocks. I mean, there's an entire beach out there if you want to comb them and find some good ones, I guess.
Then while we are assaulting the pyramid, you shall go and find a rock.
Before we go to the pyramid, is there any chance we could talk to your village healer?
He nods and gestures that the healer is two doors along from where you are now.
It might be that we can have some healing skills that they haven't and vice versa. We could do a trade or something.
Yeah, good idea.
Because so, I think I've managed to cut Bellary open and get it back together and survive, so I might be able to help these people that way.
Okay, so you leave the chieftain's hut and go and speak to the healer. What do you wish to ask them?
Mostly some healing type questions as to local herbs, what level of magic healing they've got, that sort of thing.
As you go in, the healer, her hands are caked in dried blood. She looks exhausted, and she tells you that she's the only one in town who has any kind of, like, healing gift. Everyone else in town seems to be incapable of healing properly. She tried to teach someone else, but it just didn't seem to click with them, and they ended up doing more harm than good. She tells you that she mostly has a sort of shamanistic approach to healing, and she doesn't really use very many herbs and such because she just uses the power she seems to have in herself. And she gestures to her sort of withered staff she has and says, the power I have through this and myself seems to be enough, but it's exhausting work.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been since you last got a night's sleep?
She informs you that since the fox arrived and they had the festival of everyone drinking the potion, the problems only really started about 3 months after that, where some of them would become ill for no reason. There was mass nausea throughout the entire town, as you can guess, with so many magically becoming prepared to have children. There were many that became... She sort of looks for a nice way of putting it and then says, consummated that evening.
Okay.
We were not prepared for so many to fall that quickly into gestation, I guess. And she sort of gestures outside, and you notice at this point that although there were several people who you thought originally were just fat, they are in fact that kind of swollen belly way of pregnancy.
Oh boy, are we turning into midwives?
Well, I'm seriously considering telling the healer to actually go and sort of have a bath and a night's sleep and something and taking over for a bit.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Three of us can fill in.
Oh, it's the action minigame time.
Nothing else gives her a chance to recharge.
It was going to happen at some point.
At worst, we can cast healing on people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you convince the healer to take a night off. She is very grateful and immediately goes and collapses out at the back of the hut.
Mm-hmm.
That evening, you do deal with three or four experiences involving one cesarean section and two rather ill-looking, either male or female, people coming in that are just basically like, I am very pregnant, what the hell do I do? And you have to put them at ease and then deal with them. The next morning comes and you're all exhausted, despite the fact that you've dealt with very little compared to what the healer deals with on her own. But the healer wakes up and she tells you she is very refreshed and she will take back over now. You should get onto the pyramid, because if there's an easier solution, it will lie there.
Okay.
That is our plan. But I thought taking a little bit longer so you could rest wouldn't hurt anything.
Yes.
On our route out, I would like to do a perception check, just in case there are things that would be helpful that none of them have thought to tell us because it's normal to them.
Such as what?
Where's the elder?
Is there any... No, because they don't know that. Things like, are there any dangerous traps between here and the pyramid? Or the traps once you get there?
The chieftain of the village tells you that, as far as they're aware, there are no traps before you get to the pyramid. And the pyramid itself seems to have been... It's some kind of maze. That's all they know. They haven't been up there for generations. Only the elders allowed there. It's considered holy ground.
Okay.
Could you point us to where the elder's house was?
He can, yes. He points at the top of the hill, and at the top of the hill, just before the pyramid, is a very ramshackle-style house.
I would like to go and investigate the elder's house to see if there's any clues to the pyramid. What about you, ladies?
Thanks, Sam.
Yep.
An arcana check, please.
Yep. Are you just doing an arcana check on the general populace, or...?
General populace, general area. Is there a big, shining heartbeaty beacon going from the pyramid? That sort of thing. And is it a great organization?
Is there a neon sign saying, "This bad"?
They're always
pretty much.
Usually over us.
There seems to be residual magic amongst the entire population, but that's about it.
Okay. So we will make our way up to the elder's house.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Okay, so you arrive outside the elder's house. It seems to be a very minimalist appearing house. As you walk inside, there is a small rug on the floor that again looks incredibly dusty, moth-eaten, like the house has gone to hell in the past year, but because it was so little, all the dust is kind of sunk into this rug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, before we look around, I'd like to do a perception check to see if the dust has been disturbed in any particular area.
Okay. As far as you can tell, the dust hasn't been disturbed for a long time. When you look around the house itself, you find a couple of chests, a couple of books. All of it seems to have been raided before, as in someone desperately trying to find out where the elder has gone.
Okay. So it's unlikely there would be much left for us to find.
As you look around, you notice that even basic jewellery and stuff seems to have been taken.
Okay. I'll do a perception check for a search, in the off chance that anything will actually come up, because it's got to be worth a shot.
You lift the rug. Below the rug is a small trapdoor.
Ooh.
The trapdoor is padlocked shut.
If only we knew someone that had tinkering.
I have lockpicking.
I know, I was joking.
Okay.
Okay, I will try to pick the lock.
Okay. You pick the lock with ease, and you manage to open the trapdoor.
Yay!
This leads down a set of stairs, and in front of you there seems to be like a small shrine.
Ooh. Is it a shrine to a deity? Can
yes.
we see who the deity is?
It is a shrine to a deity, yes.
Okay.
Can we recognise?
Roll and I'll tell you if you recognise it. Natural 20. This is the sea pony god.
Oh, crap. Okay.
Maybe it's a good job that Belry wasn't feeling very well today and stayed behind.
Yeah, I think it definitely was.
You also find a letter from the elder to the chieftain you spoke to, which says that he doesn't care if male seahorses carry children or not. It's an abomination, and he will not be a part of it, and he is leaving.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Can we read the letter to see if, you know, it's a family book that's passed down with hints on how to get by the pyramid?
You can try, yes.
Okay.
After digging around for a couple of minutes, you do find that there are a couple of hints towards talking about the method through the pyramid, but most of them are just sort of waffling on about how important the pyramid is, and that's really about it.
Okay. From our previous meetings with the sea pony, who really hated Belry, we want to spill as little blood as possible, though I'm not entirely sure how else to deal with not angering giant sea ponies.
Get through the maze without shedding a drop of blood?
I think that would definitely be helpful.
That is a good start.
We shall try that. Off to the pyramid.
Okay. So you arrive before the pyramid, and it is a, like, instead of it being flat-surfaced pyramid, it's the stair-type pyramid.
Ah, yes.
And before you at the gates, there seems to be a very angry-looking carved portrait of a sea pony. What do you do?
Perception check?
And Arcana check.
Oh dear.
And I'm going to pull off a dungeoneering check as well.
The carving makes you feel worried and concerned.
Oh god! That's a bad dungeoneering check.
There is definitely something arcana in this pyramid. It's kind of like a heartbeat, but it's more consistent than any other stone you've dealt with before. And the dungeoneering check, you just go, that seahorse is nothing, I'll just put a cloth over it. And you drape a piece of material over the seahorse. Then you hear a mechanism begin. What do you do?
Dungeoneering. Or possibly, actually, I'm going to back off until I know what's going on.
Yeah. Step back.
And I will just do a dungeoneering. See if I can identify what it is.
Okay. There seems to be traps arming.
Ah, wonderful. This will be a good test. I'm going to assume I'll be leading the way for checking for traps and things.
Might be an idea. In fact, no, scratch that. I'll go first. I'm the tank. I should be getting hit in the face first.
We send the scout ahead first. I think it's probably better.
Okay.
We'll see. It will depend on which traps we find. I'm sure we'll swap around. So, is there an obvious door to this pyramid?
Yes,
or are we going to...
There's a grand door that seems to lead up some dark stairs.
Okay, right. So it's kind of like a ziggurat with internal chambers.
Yes.
Right. Slowly start walking towards, doing an awful lot of dungeoneering type checks and reflexes.
Yes.
Okay. The stairs go up, and then once you get about the 12th step up, they immediately start going back down again. The stairs back down are significantly steeper. And again, they only go 12 steps.
Okay. I'd like to do another dungeoneering check at this point before we start going down those stairs.
Okay.
There's my dungeoneering. Good God. The exact same roll. Yep.
Doing well today, Graham. There is nothing dungeoneering on these stairs.
Can I do a lore check to see if there's anything connecting 12 to sea ponies?
Yep. Natural 20. Okay. As far as you're aware, there was nothing, but the more you kind of look around and look at the carvings on the walls and everything, you realise that the sea ponies may in fact actually be...
Tereskaide Kaifobe.
It's the one. I'll cut me saying it and just leave you saying it in.
Okay.
So,
okay, so things will probably be up to 12. That's good to know.
Again, there are 12 steps down. What do you do?
Go down the steps.
Stay behind our expert engineers.
Carefully go down the steps.
Okay. Since you're in front, Tencho, roll. You get to the bottom and there doesn't seem to be any traps so far. There is a path to the left and a path to the right. The path to the left, you notice on the floor it has 11 white tiles and 1 black. And you notice the path on the right has 9 black tiles and 5 white.
Ooh.
I'm thinking going left at this point.
I'm just going to grab a pen and some paper because have a bad feeling about this.
Well, the one on the left has 12 tiles total. The one on the right has 14 tiles total.
Yeah, let's go with the one with 12 tiles.
Okay. You carefully and prodding every way make your way to the next chamber. Inside there is a large chessboard on the floor. And in front of you there are 11 ponies and 1 queen.
Right.
Okay.
The ponies are of white and black, and the queen is gold.
Okay. Are they in a particular pattern?
They just seem to be mirroring each other.
Are these actually figures on the chessboard, or are they sort of actual real people around?
They seem to be like chess pieces, but they are about the size of a wooden carving, but the same size as you.
I just figured I'd make sure that they weren't actually, you know, real ponies and their queen.
Yes, definitely.
That could have got awkward.
What can we see on the other side?
The other side of?
The chessboard. Is there a door out the other way?
There is a closed door.
Okay.
Can we have an arcana check to see if the pieces are magical?
I could do that.
You can, yes. The pieces are not magical, although the queen does have something strange about her.
I'm going to try to walk across the room.
Okay.
Do they start moving or does anything bad happen when I do that?
As you walk into the room itself, you notice the pony in the middle moves, a horse's move towards you and one away from you. So the black pony has in fact moved towards you and closer to the queen.
Okay.
You hear the sound of some grinding mechanism and then the sound of sand running.
I step backwards off of the chessboard.
Okay.
Does that change the noise?
Nope, there is still the sound of sand running.
Oh. Okay, so how are we going to solve this puzzle?
To play a game.
Yeah. When the ponies move, did they move as the knights in chess do?
Yes.
So one square by two?
Yes.
Okay.
Can
I try standing on a square with one of the white ponies?
You can, yes.
Does anything happen when I do?
Are you touching the horse?
Yes.
Okay.
I really don't want to.
As you place your hand on that pony, you hear a grinding noise and that pony moves forward and then along too.
Okay. Right, so that's how we get them to move.
The pony at the far end of the room does a move towards the queen. Okay. What do you do?
I try and figure out which white sea pony to move to block black's approach to the queen.
Okay.
I am not good at chess.
Look at it to try and figure out the best moves to take.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little sidetracked by the specific moves, because with the number of pieces there, it's a little impossible to be able to come up with a move pattern for that.
Well, in fairness, you hadn't done anything yet. You were just letting me do it.
No, I was having a thing.
Carry on, Hippo.
I was thinking. Let's try.
Yes.
There are two horses opposite each other at the moment. Let's try touching them both at the same time to see what happens.
As in touching both of the ones near you, or touching two horses at once, or...
Touching a black and a white.
At the same time.
Okay, are you touching a black horse that's moved?
Sure. I will touch the black horse, or someone will touch the white one at the same time.
Okay, hang on. Just wanted to make sure in my head. Are you touching one that has moved before? Either of them?
Yes.
A white one or a black one?
I'll touch the black one if someone else wants to touch another.
Okay. You touch the one that's already moved, nothing happens. You hear a halt of mechanism, and you feel the ponies move back to where they originally started.
Okay, so reset.
Yep.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Then shall we attempt to touch all the horses once to see if what happens?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's because we were out of order there that it reset. Although resetting is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay. As you sort of walk across the room to come back to where you were, you hear the mechanism starting again, and the same horse moves forward.
Yep, because it's got a set pattern.
Okie dokie.
Okay, we'll touch a different white sea pony this time.
Okay, the sea pony moves forward. What do you do?
I follow it, so I'm on the same square it's on.
Okay, are you touching it again?
We need to wait for the other side's move, don't we? Take it in turns.
Okay.
Yeah.
The black horse on the same black horse as before moves.
Okay.
Which white one do we want to touch? The one next to the one we did before?
Yeah, let's try that then.
Okay.
Okay. You touch that white horse, it moves forward. The black horse on the other end of the row moves forward.
Can I use a perception check to see if I can identify a pattern?
Okay. It seems to have moved all the odd horses first.
Okay. Okay, we shall move one of the white odd horses that hasn't already moved then.
Okay. You press the white horse, it moves forward. The horse in the middle on the black side moves forward in line to where the other one is.
Okay, so when black moves, does it now move an even-numbered pony?
Yes.
Okay. Have we moved all of our odd-number white ponies?
I assume so, yes.
Okay. Can someone touch one of the even-numbered ones then, please?
Okay, okay.
Okay.
You must have at least one odd and one even, because they were right next to each other.
Yeah, I know.
The white pony moves forward, and the final black pony moves forward.
Okay.
So we touch our final white pony.
Okay. The white pony moves forward, you hear an audible click, and then you hear the sound of something moving. Can everyone do me a dodge roll, please? Okay, Dragon and Hippo manage to dodge. Ash gets hit by a scything blade that flies down from the ceiling and starts pissing blood everywhere. What do you do?
I heal myself.
Okay. She is slightly dizzy because she has lost a lot of blood because it was a very sharpened scything blade. But yes, That is fine. As Ash's blood splashes on top of the Golden Queen statue, the door at the back of the room opens.
Sorry.
It happens. I'm going to help Ash to the doorway, and we can pause and do any more healing or things that are needed.
Okay.
So once we're at the door, what can we see through the doorway?
It just seems very dark with lots of spider webs.
Of course.
To get out the light stones and things then, won't we?
Yeah, get our light stones out.
Okay.
Can we see any better?
See a little bit further in front of you.
Okay.
As you get to the bottom of the... There's a very small set of stairs, again, numbering in 12. In front of you, there's a path straight ahead, and there's a path to the left. On the floor in front of you is some sort of numeric code.
So what numbers are there?
To the left, it's 5, and straight on, it's 2.
Okay. But we can't see anything else at the moment to base it on. Right. Okay. Do we have anything... I'm trying to think if we have anything that would tell us which way to choose at this point. I don't think we do, so I'm just going to do a perception check to see if it will help in any way.
No, there doesn't seem to be anything that can help. It just seems very dusty, and there's not really much more information.
Is there a difference in the amount of dust?
Being accessed this rarely, probably not.
Okay. Does either of the directions feel like it goes closer to the sort of pulsing arcana thing?
Pulsing arcana thing seems to just be straight ahead.
Should we just take that one then?
Let's give it a go.
Let's try it.
Okay. You follow along straight ahead. You come to a crossroads room. The way you have came again on the floor, there is a 2. To your left, there is a 3. To your right, there is a 6. And straight on, there is a 3.
You probably want one of the 3s.
Can you say the numbers again?
To the left, there is a 3. To the right, there is a 6. And straight on, there is a 3.
5 was the previous one. 8 was the one before that. I don't know.
Unless, of course, it's because there were 12 tiles on the previous one, and they just got by 2, so we divide the 12 by 2, and that gives us 6. But we can't divide the 12 by 5, so it doesn't work.
But we went straight on, which was the 2, not the 5, so...
Let's give the 6 a try. It's the odd one out.
But then these numbers are written rather than coloured tiles on the floor, so it could be a completely separate puzzle.
They could be.
Because the tiles led to the chessboard.
We'll try the 6.
Okay.
Then leads to a 4 as an option, that would give us 12.
Well, if we go 2 and then 3 and then look for a 4, we can keep going straight ahead towards the magic at that point.
Straight ahead would be easier to retrace our steps. Yeah, we'll go straight on.
Okay.
That's the 3, okay. So you carry on straight on and you come to a room where there's 3 other exits again. All 3 of them have 7s written at them.
Should we go back and see what's on the other 3 exits? There were 2, there were 3 on it.
Yeah, let's go back and try the other 3.
You try the other 3 and you come to a room where there is only 2 exits, apart from the one you came along. The one straight ahead of you says 9 and the one to the right says 2.
9 would be too high.
9's too high. Give the 2 a shot?
Sure. We'll try the 2.
Okay. So you walk through the 2, and it gets to a really steep slope.
Yep.
Which direction was that going?
That was going right.
So you get to the bottom of the steep slope, and ahead of you there is a single door, and it says 5.
Is that right? Because we've turned left, so we're now going the same as would have been straight ahead from the previous road. I'm trying to map here.
Yeah.
5 doesn't work for us.
Why?
Well, to get up the number, if we're going with the 12 total approach, it's too high.
2, 3, 2, 5. That actually adds up to 12.
Does it? I missed the 2 at the beginning. Sorry.
Which direction was the 9 in the previous room?
The 9 would have been continuing out to the left.
Thank you.
So what are you doing?
Do we want to see stuff that will go through the door?
Could I do a perception check at the slope, please?
The slope seems greased.
I'm going to throw in a dungeoneering check as well.
Okay. And flammable.
I don't think we want to go down there.
No.
Should we at least keep mapping a bit and see what happens?
You can if you want. So where do you want to go?
We better check out the 9 or retrace our steps.
Well, might as well try the 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can everyone roll me a d20, please?
Oh, no.
Beep. Oh, God.
All three of you fall through a pit.
Knew it!
Of course we do. Because it went over 13.
Roll a d20 to see which order you land in.
Can I turn into a sparrow?
Roll to try and turn into a sparrow then. You don't manage to turn into a sparrow. So roll for fall. Okay. From that
worked
list,
out the right way.
From that list.
No.
Tencho lands first. Dragon lands on top of Tencho.
Wow.
Ash lands on top of Dragon.
Ow.
Roll to see if you're conscious.
Oh dear. We should have retraced our steps.
Tencho is just conscious, the other two of you are knocked out. So, Tencho, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to gently bring myself back to full consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm then going to wake up my two fellow companions that crushed me.
Roll to try and wake them up, then.
Oh,
no. So, you get to your feet. The two of them are non-responsive. You hear a rumbling. What do you do?
I take a bit of rope out of my bag and tie both of them onto my back.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say, where is the sound coming from?
Sound is coming from directly above you.
Is there an exit to the room that we are in?
There's an exit to the left and exit to the right.
Are there any markings at all on them?
The exit on the left has a number 1, the exit on the right has a number 6.
I'm going to have a crack at the number 1 door.
Okay. Are you carefully doing it or running through it?
I'm going to carefully do it.
Okay. Roll. You carefully make your way down the corridor. The rumbling continues behind you and then you hear the sound of a boulder hitting. What do you do?
Is the boulder, you know, rolling after us or something?
I don't know yet. You just hear the sound of hitting the ground.
Okay. I'd like to examine the direction I'm going in with my dungeoneering skill to see if there's anything that I am not currently aware of.
Okay. Roll. There is nothing there that you're not aware of.
And as the rock's not, you know, rolling after us to cause us unspeakable misery, I would like to take this time to actually properly rouse my companions that are currently tied to my back.
Okay, roll. You manage to wake up Dragon.
What?
Who is very alarmed that she's attached to your back.
What happened? What the fuck?
Saved you from crushing to death by a big giant rock.
Thank you. It's appreciated.
I now untie Dragon from my back.
Okay.
I'm going to try and wake up Ash, because I'm not dealing with this.
Yep, you wake up Ash.
Yay.
So, the three of you are now sitting in a very sad heap in this corridor. What do you do?
Perception check?
Yeah, okay. I'm going for that.
You're in a corridor.
I'm still knocked out, apparently.
No, you're just in a corridor. Hippo, however, smells food coming from the way you're going.
Ooh.
That doesn't sound like a positive.
No, I'm just going, ooh, just to be different.
Can I kind of check in so we can get our bearings again?
Mm-hmm. The magical thing is definitely coming from the downward direction.
Okay, seeing as we can't exactly go back due to, you know, giant rock, I am going to continue walking towards the smell of food.
Okay, roll to see what's in the next room. You walk into the next room and you notice a very large grill and there's something cooking on the grill.
I'm very, very suspicious.
As am I?
I'm going to be paranoid and use perception check again. I'm not doing very well and I might as well leave the dungeoneering checks to Hippo. Got
okay.
A much better modifier.
I shall do a dungeoneering then.
Okay. You notice that on the grill itself does seem to be some kind of cooked meat. You have no idea where it's come from though.
Mm-hmm.
And engineering tells you that it's very strange. There are no footprints or anything for where this meat came from.
Hmm.
Are there any other exits from this room?
Yep, there is an exit to your left.
Go the exit of the left then, and ignore the food that may want to kill us.
I think the food's another trap.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you just leaving through the door on the left?
I am.
Okay.
we're having a look at the door on the left.
The door on the left has a number 4 on the ground.
Okay. Were there any numbers in the corridor?
No.
Okay. So this is the first number we found on this level. Okay. So we were on 7. So this one would take us up to 11. So we'll can try it, and if we see something that has a number 1, we'll go there. If not, we better come back into here.
Yeah.
We've done 2 or 3 and 9 before we fell down that hole.
We'll try the 4, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You head down this passage, and as you get to the end, you find a small circular chamber with steps going up and down, sort of one steps up, one steps down, one steps up, one steps down. And on the floors are the numbers 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Mm. We came through a door that had 4 on it.
Well, at least some of those are too high.
Go for the number 8 one, seeing as...
That's going to be far too high.
Well, with the 4 that we just had before...
When we fell down the hole, we'd got up to 14. So yeah. It depends whether we're adding to that or whether we're starting again since we fell down the hole.
Yeah. Actually, no, I take it back. It's the 7 we want to go. Because in the cave that we fell down, we went through the number 1 door. Mm-hmm. We've now gone through the number 4 door to get to here. So it should be 7 that we hit.
Yeah. It's the best hope at reasoning we have. So let's try it.
Makes sense.
God, they're going with my plan. Thanks. Crap!
I think those numbers are right. Mm-hmm. No?
So... You go down the set of stairs after the number 7, leads to a small corridor, and then eventually opens up into a grand amphitheatre, where there is a giant statue of a sea pony in front of you.
Okay.
There's also a small table, and on the table there seems to be like an altar, and on top of the altar is a handheld size cube.
A handheld size cube of... Can I go over and have a look at it, please?
Mm-hmm.
Without touching anything other than walking along the floor.
Okay. And
can I do an arcana check to see if there's any magic coming from it?
Yep. The cube is indeed very magical.
Okay, and what can I see on the altar without touching it?
To the left of the cube, there is kind of like a long poker-like dagger.
Okay.
And to the right... There is a very tiny, like, it's definitely a trident more than a fork.
Okay. Hmm. Are there any markings on the cube?
It has markings on all 4 corners.
Okay.
8 corners if it's a cube.
No, yes. The 4 corners that you can see.
On the top 4?
Yeah.
But none on the sides?
None on the sides, just on the top 4.
Okay. Do we recognize any of them?
The markings seem... They kind of resemble a sundial on all 4 corners, but they're pointing towards the middle.
Hmm. Okay.
Can I do a dungeoneering check on the rest of the room to see if there's any hints? I don't know, markings, etc.
You look at the seahorse itself, you notice around its neck there is a sundial, and there is also a shadow that seems to cast at the number 12.
Okay.
Do any of the sundial-like markings on the cube have a 12 on them?
Yes, one of them does.
Can we position a light stone so that it's casting the shadow onto the 12 on that corner?
You can try, yes. Roll.
Captain Ash.
As you do this, you hear a sort of clockwork noise and the cube begins to open. And like a sort of music box, it opens and a very small pony, it looks like a sort of hand-painted doll, rises from the middle of the cube... and begins pirouetting like some kind of ballerina. It's the sound of mechanism seems like it should have had a musical accompaniment, but it's long since stopped working. And as it finishes, you notice that a piece of the cube at the front has opened.
Okay.
I'd like to do a perception check to see if there's anything inside that opened cube.
Roll.
Face. Offer. It's a hole!
You... You open the small hatch and you go, oh, a rock! And you take out a rock that's sitting in there. It's a very plain rock. Everyone else notices that it's weighing down the piece of parchment that's in there, but you seem so ecstatic by your new rock that you start telling everyone about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the rock.
Can we have a look at the parchment and see if there's anything written on it.
Yep. The parchment seems to be a very strong healing spell.
Ooh.
It seems to have been written in symbols, and it seems the symbols gives the power to the healing.
That could be interesting.
Does it look like the sort of healing spell that the village healer would be able to cast? And does it look like it's a one-use thing or something she can cast repeatedly?
It looks like it attunes to whoever uses it.
So do Capstash cast it so that she can have the super healing power and heal everyone in the village? Or do we give it to the village healer to allow them to heal?
Or do we take the parchment and go and have a discussion with the village healer about it?
Oh no, that's what I'm intending. Is there anything else in the room that has been unlocked?
Apart from the cube itself, no.
Okay. Can I go over and have a look at the statue in the middle?
Yep.
No.
It just is no. A giant sea pony statue. It looks at you with anger in its eyes.
Okay. I'm going to back off. I don't want it angry at me.
I'm going to see if I can examine the pony from a distance to see if there's anything unusual.
Okay. It's a very angry seahorse.
Okay. Well, backtracking doesn't help us seeing as there's a giant rock back where we were. Is there another entrance out?
Does the rock actually block the passageway completely?
I don't know. I have to go back and see.
I should go back and see then.
Okay. We might as well look and see if there's another way out while we're here. But I'd like to bow politely to the sea pony statue and thank it for the parchment.
And okay. I shall bow as well.
Okay. Roll
I
to see if there's any reactions.
Wearily.
Natural 20. As you bow to the sea pony, you hear the sound of rumbling, and the sea pony statue seems to rise up, and from underneath the sea pony statue, a set of stairs is revealed.
Ooh.
Hmm.
That lead out of the stairs. Village, that lead out of the pyramid.
I'm up for going out. Anyone
else? Sure.
Yeah, yep. That sounds like we somehow ended up in the right place, and yeah, let's try that. At worst, we can always come back up.
Yes.
Because I'm really fucking scared of this bloody statue now. So, I'd like to run away, please.
Okay.
Down the stairs we go.
Okay.
I get halfway downstairs and then think, maybe I should do a dungeoneering or perception check, just in case there's anything to stop anyone stealing things at the last minute.
Okay. You don't notice anything on your way down. There doesn't seem to be anything immediately obvious.
Okay, right.
So, we get to the bottom of the stairs.
Descend down the stairs. As you get to the bottom of the stairs, there is another set of crossroads. The crossroad to your left has the number 6 in front of it, and has a gold coin placed on top of the number 6. The one to the right has the number 7 put on it, and has a small green vial lying on top of it.
Ooh, straight ahead.
Straight ahead, there is a number 4, and on top of it is a noose.
I don't like any of those options very much.
I don't see a connection with them at the moment.
Well, you know, I can see several outcomes that might happen for going for each one.
Oh, yes.
But I really don't want to go for the gold and...
I think the green vial.
Does the green vial look like the sort of nasty, horrible green of a poison or a nice, healthy green of a healing potion?
It's a light green rather than a dark green.
Being a rogue, do I have any advantages in telling if it's a poison?
You can open the vial if you want.
That's not exactly what I said, but shall I try it?
Might as well. We need more information.
Okay, I will try that then. I really don't want to. But I'll do a perception check on...
I brace myself to dive in front of the nameless rogue if necessary.
Okay. You open the green vial, there is a smell of... It's like hunger. There's a smell of longing, of desire for something. It's a very strange... It draws a reaction out of you rather than actually smelling of anything.
Interesting.
So what are you going to do?
Nobody mentioned if Toby's potion turned out green, did they?
Nope. Not that I can recall.
Yeah. Okay.
Pick a door. We've got a 1-3 shot.
I feel like the gold is a trap.
I'm thinking go for the vial because I don't like the idea of the noose.
I don't like the idea of the noose, but at the same time, it might be the least.
Unless the gold coin represents crowning the piece, which is a slightly different game from the game we played earlier, at which point it would double the 6 and give us 12.
I quite like that reasoning.
Stuff up, go on with Captain Ash.
Okay.
It was the thing I immediately thought of as soon as there was a coin on top of the number.
Let's try that.
Are you taking the coin with you?
No.
No.
You go through the coin door, or the coin entranceway. You come down a long chamber, and eventually you come to another grand room. Inside the room are several chests.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem like bursting full, but they have been closed, but they seem like they're wanting you to open them.
Okay.
And at the back of the room, there is another set of stairs going up.
I would like to go up the stairs without actually opening the chests, because I just have a feeling it's going to be very bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you say, Captain?
Sounds like a good idea to me, and I'm so glad that Dari is not here.
Yes.
Right. Okay. We are going up the stairs.
Okay. You head up the stairs. As you are about to head up the stairs, you hear the sound of a chicken. What do you do?
Can you tell where the sound is coming from?
It seems to be coming from one of the chests.
Oh, no. I would like to use my perception check to see if I can identify the specific chest that has the sound of a chicken in it.
Okay.
Because if we don't do this, we will never be forgiven.
We don't have to tell him, you know.
He'll listen to the podcast.
Tell him officially in character, then he's not allowed to complain about it because it's out of character knowledge.
No, but it'd be so much better if I saved it and then it became my surrogate son.
Oh, God.
You can't tell which one, no.
Okay. Screw it, I'm going back to my original idea of just walking out.
Okay.
What do you two think?
If I go up the steps, is there another doorway or choice of room?
No, there is. It just leads to a very overgrown exit.
Okay. Can I do a search for traps, please?
You can have a look for traps, yes. Roll. You examine the doorway out. There seems to be a mechanism in place to close the door quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Do we want me to stand in the doorway and use my strength to try and hold it open while you two open some chests?
I'm
not that greedy.
Yeah, I was going to try and do some tinkering to see if I could disable it if you're wanting to find the chicken, but otherwise, I'm happy just leaving.
Then leaving it is.
Okay.
Bellary will never forgive us.
You walk outside, and as you walk, you sort of cut your way through the undergrowth. You get about 4 or 5 steps down, and you hear a tick, and then the door behind you shuts.
Goodbye, chicken.
I think the chicken wasn't a real chicken anyway. It was just a sound.
I think it was a chest
in there.
It was a test.
I agree.
Yeah.
Right.
That's my story. I'm going to be sticking to it. Sorry, Dari.
Fine. We just won't tell him.
Right.
We'll just keep it quiet. It'll be fine.
Where are we now?
You are now the other side of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you walk round the pyramid and you begin to head back towards the village.
Okay.
What do you do?
Does anything seem to have changed on the outside while we were in the pyramid?
The same stone closing mechanism seems to have happened to the front entrance as is at the back.
Okay. Well, we're not getting back in then.
Fair enough. Go and find the healer?
I guess so.
Okay.
I think he's the best option.
Yeah.
You wander back into town and you again find the healer who already looks like she's stressed. What do you do?
Talk to her about the spell.
Ask her if anything changed while we were in the pyramid first.
She hasn't noticed any change.
Okay. Well, we found a bit of parchment. I fear we didn't find as much valuable in the pyramid as we hoped. And it's possible that the tests and traps were just too much for us. But we did find some parchment. Do we want to offer it to the healer?
Yes.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So we let the healer have a look at it.
Okay.
And hope that it's helpful.
She takes the parchment from you and casts it on the very distraught looking man who's very swollen in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to calm down and stop sweating as much.
Okay.
She turns to you and thanks you and tells you that this will help her greatly.
What do you do?
I am very glad. What type of spell is that?
She tells you it's a blessing from the gods.
I see. I'm glad we managed to help in some way. If we meet your elder, we will send him back.
Okay.
Should we go talk to the chief again at this point before we go?
Probably should.
Okay.
What would you want to say to him?
That we've returned, that we have found something which the healer has found useful to help with looking after the population.
Okay.
There may be more left in the pyramid, but the door has locked behind us and we do not wish to anger the god by attempting any further action.
He rubs his hands together, delighted, and tells you, so you have found a way to cure our ailment.
I'm not sure it's a cure, but it will certainly help.
Your healer described it as a blessing from the gods, so I think it means that you are not cursed by them anymore.
He tells you he is organising a great feast, and that it will probably end in much, much more children being brought into the world. Would you like to join, without even having the new potion?
Maybe you should be a little more careful about having lots more children brought into the world. Just so you don't overwhelm the healer too many births at the same time. Space them out a little.
What do you mean, the new potion?
Well, we have this potion. I mean, hasn't Tensho always dreamed of being a mother?
No! You've had all these problems from this potion and you're intending to take it again? Are you insane?
He looks at you slightly confused and says, well, yes. We need to repopulate.
Then wait and do it naturally.
Or ration the potion a bit, because if all of you give birth at the same time, you're going to overwhelm your healer again. Whereas if you have a few of you at a time, it's a lot easier.
He looks slightly unhappy, but he nods. He still seems quite happy, though, when he begins to start arranging this feast. What will you do?
I am not planning on staying for the feast.
I'm only tempted to destroy the potion. They've asked us to go and save them from... to get something from the pyramid that brings them back to their god's favour. And they're going to go and destroy it again by doing the same thing over again.
I don't think they necessarily did destroy their god's favour. I think they just weren't equipped to deal with the consequences of it, and they now are, so long as they're careful about it. And they don't want to see the village die out because they can't have any more children.
Hmm. Yeah, but they didn't say that they...
Welcome to the Morrow Maze.
Okay, my half-orc roots are really, really, really fucking unhappy with this, but we shall go and leave them.
To their shenanigans.
Okay. Yes.
And with that, dear listeners, we draw this episode of the podcast to a close. Thank you for listening, and if you enjoyed our tale, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell your friends about us. We would greatly appreciate it. If you would like to support us in making future content, we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/penancerpg. All support is gratefully received. Hopefully, we'll be seeing you next week. And remember in the meantime to always stay ambitious, even if you think you're a bit rubbish. This episode of Penance RPG was brought to you by Nikolai, Dragon, Graham, and Ash. The episode was written, adapted, and edited by Nikolai Pubsky. Music was provided by Ellen Garrett, and artwork was by John Moore.